Hello, Aquarius, and welcome to Reckoning for the Faithful, your 2025 spring reading from Planet Waves. I'm Eric Francis, your astrologer, and what a spring it is going to be. We lived through a big adventure last year and saw things that we had never seen before, and I was saying at the time that this was merely just the kind of, not even the warm-up act, but maybe the sound check for what would be coming in the spring of 2025, and it is on its way. However, before we get there, I want to acknowledge that these days when I do an astrology reading or even when I write an ordinary horoscope column, I have this feeling that I don't know exactly quite what to say that will address the sensation of chaos and crumbling that anyone sensitive is observing in the world, this sense of what may accurately be described as the bottom falling out of the reality that we have lived all of our lives. And there are very few people who actually understand what is going on. To do that, you have to have a sense of where what we think of as spiritual encounters where we think what we think of as technological. This is a subject matter that you can probably relate to because the chances are that you're not completely resistant to technology or ideas about it. And like many people, you may be somewhat enamored of all the developments that are happening. A lot of people fall for this. They fall for the marketing rollout. They fall for, the promise of a better, brighter, gleamier future where no one will have any papers on their desk and everyone will, everything will be organized and everyone will feel good and where there is no other side of the tracks. But what is happening is that we're all starting to live on the other side of the tracks, except for about like 100 billionaires who live on their side of the tracks, where there's no chickens being killed and all the bad stuff is happening on our side of the tracks. And I don't mean to be pessimistic here, but only realistic that the prevailing state of chaos and pain in the world right now is subtle for some people, but it is rising like a creeping tide. And as part of that creeping, rising tide, I think there's a lot of forgetting going on of what existence was like yesterday, what existence was like in previous eras, and what exactly it is that we're giving up to be able to, have the promise of a brave new world unfurling between the clear blue sky, as Pink Floyd once said, and I don't think that is what is happening, and yet I'm not here to offer any form of pessimism, but only awareness and caution, and of course awareness and caution are often confused with pessimism. Awareness and caution defy the prevailing narrative. Awareness and caution insist that we be self-aware. They insist that we be situationally aware, and they insist that we pay attention in whole new ways. And you might say, well, why bother? Why not just kind of go along with everything? Go along with the fun, keep upgrading devices, and be absolutely thrilled that the federal government, in the U.S. anyway, is being shrunken down, and the biggest salesman for artificial intelligence is going to replace everybody with a computer. Isn't it going to be wonderful? You'll just interact with artificial intelligence instead of your insurance company. I don't know. It is painful to see the world, the physical world, being taken to with a chainsaw or a sledgehammer. And though this reading is not about journalistic topics or political topics. This reading is about the spiritual condition of humanity. For you, the spiritual condition of Aquarius, Aquarius rising, Aquarius moon. And that is the, I think, that in our time, the most important function that astrology can serve. This is beyond the fatalistic concepts of astrology. It is beyond the concepts of astrology that are related to spiritualism and karma and all of that. And it's beyond humanistic and psychological astrology. My sense from having done astrology now for 30 years and journalism for an additional 12 years before that is that astrology is a tool to help us study the human condition and to understand our place within the human condition and to figure out how to be real with ourselves about our human condition. What is the situation in which we find ourselves? What is the situation in which we find ourselves and are compelled to respond because we have no choice but to respond? I say all this knowing also that the world is an extremely complicated place right now. If you are a parent and have children, children are extremely vulnerable to the machinations of this new world order that has taken over. Whether we're talking about children forced to take vaccines without their parents' permission, children being told things in school that plainly defy the understood knowledge of what a human being is. There's a lot going on that affects children. It's very, very difficult to be a parent right now. And I imagine, though I am not one, I'm not a parent either, but that it's not easy to be a child in the world in which we live. It must be absolutely daunting. And the protections that children felt in previous eras are they're either entirely gone because the parents don't have the power that they used to have, or the children are so overprotected to the point where they don't really have a chance to move around and grow and stretch out. The way the children are raised now, all of the things that we are supposedly protecting them from, with one exception, were things that you and I as children routinely experienced and got involved with, and God watches drunks, fools, and little children. And I don't know about you, but I learned a lot from exploring and experimenting and from doing things on my own. And now children are highly overprotected, and yet at the same time left vulnerable to certain ideological results that I have nothing to do with the protection, that are actually extremely dangerous, not only to their well-being, but to their spiritual state as a person. As for you personally, a long era in your life has ended and a new one has begun. The transition phase was between January 2023 and November 2024, almost a two-year transition phase for the sign change of Pluto from Capricorn into Aquarius. So it's going to seem like Pluto is making ground in Aquarius more quickly than it might ordinarily because of that very long transition phase. That third dip back into Capricorn that ended in November. And Pluto through the 12th house, particularly through Capricorn, is quite challenging. When I say 12th house, I mean that you have Capricorn in the 12th place. Welcome to the new improved era of Planet Waves chart video. I've been working hard to have video be a better teaching tool. This is Aquarius, so it's one of the first significators for you in your chart, this little range, house number one, the first place. This will work for Aquarius rising or Aquarius sun, and some say Aquarius moon. I have an Aquarius moon, so I'm kind of a test, you know, a test subject for these readings being about Aquarius moon. And I wrote the Aquarius horoscopes out to the May monthly today, and I see the patterns. I see, and the word pattern is a big theme. I'm going to get to it in a second. Hold that thought. Pattern. Okay, so the 12th place in astrology is one of the most cryptic of them all. It's above the horizon, but it happens that everything that happens in the 12th place is as if it's behind a scrim or a veil of some kind. It is, for most people, a very ethereal world. It is where they go when they dream. It is where they, dreams are the most common access to the 12th house, but other points of access are things like ayahuasca trips and other consciousness altering experiences, and then in addition at various out-of-body experiences that people have, that's a 12th house experience. The 12th house is when we find ourselves in vast, new, unfamiliar, strange places. Like you show up in Paris one day with no plan to leave, and suddenly you're just there, and you've never been there before, and you just start to map the place out. So overwhelming institutions, and other things that I'll get into. One of which is ancestors, and this is a very, very prominent theme in your chart. Continuing after the departure of Pluto is the influence of your ancestors upon you. What happened between 2008, when Obama was about to take office, so the whole Great Recession and TARP bailout and all that crap that was going on, was associated with Pluto's first ingress into Capricorn in January of 2008. And we got a whiff from that how quickly an outer planet transit in the ordinary tropical horoscope represents a massive shift in the patterns of society and world events. I mean, it was in no time. It was in a matter of weeks between Pluto's arrival in Capricorn and this whole edifice of banking and debt and banks in massive trouble, banks leveraged 200 to 1. I mean, can you imagine having $200 in debt for every dollar in your pocket? I mean, that would be like having a $200,000 mortgage and a $100 bill. $1,000 bill. Same idea. You can't do anything with it. That was Bank of America. And so this whole thing comes crumbling down right when Pluto enters Capricorn. And this is in a highly sensitive zone in your chart. Now, the banking bit is very Capricorn, but your style of having Capricorn is this interior reality. This interior world. And the way that I have described it, and I'll describe it again since time goes by and the readings go by, but I think this was one of my more illustrative concepts of how to think of Capricorn in the 12th house. So imagine you wake up and you go into the kitchen for a glass of water at 4 o'clock in the morning. And you think you're not dreaming. You go into the kitchen for a glass of water, and you think, "Oh, wouldn't a graham cracker be nice now?" So you reach it. You reach into the pantry, and instead of being shelves full of groceries, there's a stairway. Never been there before. You think you're awake. You kind of are awake. No graham crackers. There's only a stairway. What do you do? Some people would close the door and hope that it would go away in the morning. Some people would go up the stairs. So let's imagine you go up the stairs, and you're going up these stairs in the pantry, the stairs that don't exist, to a second floor that you don't have, and you're walking, and you're going higher up the stairs and higher, and doesn't seem to end. And then finally you get to a landing and there's a door. And you open the door and you're looking down a corridor full of other doors, like an endless hotel room, a hotel corridor that just stretches off into the distance. And you're standing there with the stairs behind you and this endless corridor with doors on either side in front of you. And you realize that you're looking down the corridor of your ancestry, and that behind each one of those doors is kind of a breeding pair of your ancestors who, in some way, their progenitory action led to your existence. And you don't know who's who and what's what. There's no difference between a great-grandmother and a great-great-great-grandfather. There's just all of these doors. And you're getting a look at the depth and the unfathomable quality of your ancestral existence. Around the time when Pluto went into Capricorn, I had a friend do the math, and I'm not sure I have this right, but I think that it would be approximately 10 generations back until you had enough ancestors to fill Madison Square Garden to capacity. A mere 10 generations. That's a lot of ancestors and not a long period of time. And those are the people whose information you're carrying around with you. And so Pluto in Capricorn pulled you through this territory. You just went deep into this territory. And you might not have opened every single door, but you certainly opened some of those doors. You certainly looked behind them and met some of those people and got a sense of what that influence is. And learned at least that where you stand today and where the world stands today have a very, very long history. That the history is so long you can't get to the beginning. In truth, you know it's completely incomprehensible. But it influences you. Every day of your life, every minute of your life, it influences you. Pluto has moved through Capricorn. I would encourage you to journal out the life that you lived between, let's say, where you were in early 2008 and then up to the point of where you were in late 2024. This can be done with a simple chronology of the major events in your life. You might say, including marriages, divorces, the births of children, the deaths of parents and other loved ones, perhaps the births of nieces and nephews, if anything that will give you a reference point in time, and then start to journal that out, a little like I have my clients journal out their Chiron transits by using your address at the time of that event as a starting point, and then you slowly fill it in and give yourself a sense of the before and the after of this period, January 2008 out to November 2024. The transition phases are in 2008 and then the last 2 years of the Pluto transit, 23 and 24. This kind of a seemingly rudimentary spiritual exercise can be extremely helpful as a therapy tool. And who exactly goes to therapy and who exactly is sure that their therapist is even helping them in any way? But this is something that I have found is a highly reliable kind of a therapy tool. And I've seen a very wide array of people's responses to this exercise. And I've seen it to be pretty much always productive and instructional. The reason I am, apart from the fact that I strongly suggest that you claim the gains and the growth of this transit, by doing this exercise. One of the reasons I am encouraging it, especially paying attention to familial matters, matters of your family, involves the fact that there is a new grouping of planets in early, and well, now it's hanging out around 10 degrees of Capricorn. This has opened up a new tap into your ancestral heritage. So the 12th is about ancestry. Capricorn is about ancestry for everyone, but it's especially about ancestry for you because of the 12th house connection. And then now this group that I'm calling the Family Hunger Game aspect, which I always indicate in red, and I'm also now counting events in Aries as being part of this. So, my highly advanced digital tools. That you work this out, because this trance is going to last another 10 or 15 years. And so for some reason, this theme of your ancestral history is very important now in this lifetime. We're talking really talking a phase of like 25 years of very strong transits, all saying basically the same thing. And I will include the article, The Family Hunger Game, which I keep including, and I got onto this thread around June of 24, and I remember like this article just coming out of me in like 2 hours. The theme, by the way, underlying theme is the ancestral nature of alcoholism. And the influence of certain individuals or an individual in your genetic lineage who had no morals. Not only do they have no morals, they had no use even for the concept of morals. It's an amoral influence. There was no right. There was no wrong. People who sexually abuse children are not immoral, they are amoral. You might say that someone who has a commitment to her husband to be faithful in the marriage and then goes off and has a couple of affairs, then we're starting to get into, you know, immoral, something that could be described as immoral. Problematic, definitely, faithless, but that's more when you can start to bring in a moral framework. There are certain things like beating up dogs and sexually abusing children that have no moral reference points at all whatsoever. They're probably with someone like that. You need to know who that person was, because their influence is still dancing around. And the influence of the alcoholics in your family line is still dancing around. What has this got to do with now? You may ask. I'm never one to disappoint, or I certainly, as an astrologer, I try to never disappoint. What this has to do with now, meaning the rather unbelievable astrology of the spring of 2025, which will lead to the even more unbelievable, isn't this cool? It's just a free-floating piece of a chart. You can see this proves the Earth is flat, by the way. I finally figured it out. Look at this. There's nothing there. This is where we're headed in the spring of 2026, and the astrology of 20. I didn't trim this one up yet. The astrology of 20 of our moment right now looks like this. It's not that different, but there's a lot more in Pisces, and here all of the slow moving activity, with one exception, is going to go into Aries, and where we find Aries in your solar chart is in the third place. I'm going to just highlight that in orange. By the way, I think this is the way to do astrology. Like, computer charts are nice. They give you certain information. But you want to you want to take the computer chart and then like make it into your own thing, like this or like this. This is why when we sell the chart kit, the chart set, this thing for like $30, where I personally sign and cast your chart, we include several blank wheels and blank paper and a Planet Waves pen. I'm going to start putting pencils in there too, because I believe in pencils, so that you can take over. You can really, really make your astrology your own. This is, you have to do, it is yours. It is yours. So while this is your solar chart, this is the chart for your sign, but it's a pretty sophisticated astrological device. Nobody could say that I'm making general statements here. There's so much information here that, in fact, I have I'm now in my third group of 12 readings, reading the same basic astrology. I just to change signs, you just turn the chart one bump, and it's a whole new chart. Okay, so Aries is happening here. Here's Aries, and this is place number three, house number three. So it's saying in the psychological and spiritual construct of Aquarius, we find Aries in the third place. Oh, this is very interesting. Why is it interesting, you might say? And I would note that interesting is my favorite word for Aquarius. Like, I say the word interesting a lot. I have an Aquarius moon, and I very much have an Aquarius moon and an Aquarius Saturn, Aquarius Falls, Aquarius Vesta, Aquarius Icarus. I like interesting. Interesting means that it is worthy of being interested in, and I think almost anything is worthy of being interested in. Now, why that? Well, the third house is the house of ideas, the house of ideation. It's the house of your communication style. Notice, assuming my Aquarius moon means anything, my Aquarius style is bold and direct. For a Pisces, I don't fucking pussyfoot around. I get to the point. I do so stylishly. I bring my sense of humor. That's a very Pisces thing. I'm always telling everyone to say hi to their dog and their cats for me, but I'm direct, and I get to the point, at least eventually. Aries is about ideas. And Aries is where Aries lands in the solar chart. Where Aries lands in any chart says something about where you seek the process of learning who you are. Where Aries lands in any chart is where the experience of self-actualization takes place. It's where you're going to learn. It's where you're going to seek to learn about yourself. Okay. And for Aquarius, the sign supposedly identified with real smart people and scientists, Thomas Edison, et cetera, et cetera. Well, why? What exactly makes them brainiacs? Is it those little waves, the little air waves, like radio waves and air, or water waves? Is Aquarius an air sign? Why is it aqua, but it's an air sign? That's a good question. But the idea part of Aquarius, I think, look, this is all a bunch of metaphors. Ultimately, it's not about the astrology. It's about you seeking to understand yourself, and I'm here to help you map out who you are. And that map indicates that you really like ideas and that you hold yourself as intelligent, that you are that you identify with being an idea person, that you seek to be a leader of ideas. This will work if you're the secretary or you're the vice president for business and finance, whatever it is that you might be. And the third place is also about your language style, your speaking style. Yes, that also reflects your ideation, and it's about your idea of commerce, of buying and selling. And also your local community. Now, that's a lot to put in a house, but remember, there are 12 houses, and each house has a group of themes that are about that complicated. But the beauty of a house is that you start to understand a house, in this case the third, when you start to see the confluence of themes that those different things have. So you could look up any house. You can look up the sixth house, and it's like medical, service, going to work, the healing area, and the military. Well, it helps to understand in the third house that the military comes first, and that leads to service, and then that leads to battlefield medicine, and that leads to medicine generally, and service as a form of work, and that there's the sixth house. Sixth, that's house number six. House number three is proximate. It is near you. It is so near you, you can walk to it or you carry it around with you. And in the spring of 2024, four, five, and six, because in 2024, we had that massive eclipse conjunct Chiron, and I must go fish the chart off the wall of my dining room upstairs, where I have it proudly displayed to remember for as long as these charts are worth remembering, one of the biggest eclipses of our lifetimes took place approximately 1 year ago in April of 2024, and that was the opening to a new sense of who you are, a new sense of your reality as a person, a new sense of I am based on the I am of the ideas that you have about yourself and that you have about life. And now we are about to experience, well, why don't I put that somewhere? Oh, come on, I was just ranting about it. But let's use this 2026 chart because it is where we are headed. And if we remember, this is your third house. This is what your third house is soon going to look like. Neptune is going to get there at the end of March, followed by Saturn, I believe, in May, and then followed by this most important conjunction of Chiron and Eris. So this is revolutionary. This is opening up a whole new concept of your reality for you from the inside out. Much like your 12th house transit is opening up transits are opening up a reality from the inside out, because the 12th house always operates from the inside out. There really is no outside of the 12th house. The outside of the 12th house is the first house. It's conscious. It's kind of like ordinary waking life. Which kind of develops, the theme develops through the chart. So what is now happening in Aries, first of all, is that we have Venus retrograde and we have Mercury about to go retrograde. So this whole thing that is going to come to full formation really starting in February 24, but it's like 90% there now. So the power plant is running at 90% capacity, and by 2026 it's going to be at about 120% capacity, which is why I am suggesting that you prepare for this. You know what's going on. It will help you. It will help you have a clue what is going on. You need, I think, that astrology is very helpful at giving you a clue what is going on without predicting what is going on. Know that this is happening, and it is happening very soon, including beginning right now. And so this whole thing begins with the retrogrades of Venus and Mercury in your third house. This is a review. This is not the statement, I am, which is very Aries, but it's the question, who am I? And with Mercury and Venus involved, these are local, immediate, graspable, understandable influences that you can name and identify, and they're things that you can feel, and they are people that you talk to, and they are acquaintances that you have, and they are emotional matters and matters of communication and friendship and of communicating with siblings in particular. Cousins really are held in the sixth house, but I think that close cousins would be third house also. So they're the people that you consider your relatives that you relate to. And in all big families, there are people who have cousins who are kind of closer than their siblings. So it's those kind of relationships that exist in the third house. And then there are certain relationships your children might have as well. The third, by the way, is the house of brethren. And it morphs into the house of community and communication, because brethren, imagine the farmstead and I don't know if this is a fairy tale out of the non-existent American West, but imagine a homestead where, there's some siblings and they all have houses on the farm, and the houses kind of face into one another, and they all work the farm together, and they have a little villa, a little community. And the community constitutes kind of an immediately local region, and that in a way is like a little town. And then this can actually grow. I'm sure plenty of towns began this way, and then it grows into a bigger town. And so this is why I consider the third house to be basically everything within walking distance and all local merchants within driving distance whose names you know, not the ones whose names you don't know. But if you drive, 10 miles to a butcher shop in Saugerties and you know the name of everybody who works there, that's also the third house, even though it's outside the normal radius of the third house. But more than all of this, immediately local is very important now. This massacre of corporate farming, I mean, they're killing billions of chickens right now. They're gassing massive hen houses right now and flooding them with firefighting foam. This is going to force us into local farms. And that's a good thing, but it's a very bad thing what's happening to these poor birds who do not understand why they're basically being cooked alive or drowned in firefighting foam. Is making the local community and the local environment very, very, very important. And as planets collect in the third house for you, which is what this is, and they are doing so now, but it's in the form of planets not shown here, which are Venus and Mercury, you need to get to know where you live. Whether you like it or not, you need to get to know where you live. You need to know your neighbors. You need to know what you're doing. You need to know who people are, how to get around, and who has what, and who can provide what, and who can take care of what. Because the powers that be are basically trying to beat us back into shanties, and make us think that we are somehow better in a world that is run and organized by robots than by people. Which brings me to the topic of the so-called digital revolution, which is happening in Aries as well. Now, there's no doubt that the world getting demolished during Pluto and Capricorn, and then Pluto going into Aquarius, certainly has a lot to say about technological subject matter, as does Uranus going into Gemini. That takes place in June. This comes with massive technological breakthrough. In a book called The Awa, a 65-page ebook, short enough to be printable and carried around and read conveniently, in a few sessions, at the last day of working on that, I realized that Uranus was going into Gemini. It kind of took me by surprise. And then I went back and I looked at the chronology of computer science and realized that there were really two stages of computer science. The Uranus and Taurus phase, which was kind of the World War II, pre-World War II era, kind of the rise of the Nazis, and then in 42, Uranus goes into Gemini, and then we get into this leaps and bounds exponential growth of computer science, leading to the computers that we have today. But now we're in a world where the computers are operating underneath the surface and are poised to take over. And young people do not understand this. And if you find yourself saying, AI, ooh, how wonderful. Or you hear a young person say, oh, hey, little AI, that's good. Oh, they're probably making progress. No, they're buying the propaganda, or they're under the control of the robot, one or the other. Your goal right now as a person, as far as I'm concerned, as your astrologer, if you give a flying fuck what I think, is to not become part of the Borg. to not become part of the robot, and to remember that the robot is not actually attained by plugging a thing into your head, like in The Girlfriend Experience, Season 3, the last episode, worth watching. I'm not into these Netflix series, but Season 3 of The Girlfriend Experience, I believe on Amazon or Netflix. First of all, I had a script concept for that, very similar, in 2003. Essentially, it comes right out of Book of Blue. That the hypnotic source, that the lure is into the frame of mind created by the robotic devices, and the disembodiment property of the robotic devices, and the surrender of one's interior reality to the robotic environment. Now, this has happened since the dawn of electricity. It is especially hard on women who tend to rebel against being women under the influence of all electrical devices. Electrical devices are extremely hard on the relationship of women, the soul of the woman and the body of the woman. It rips the two of them apart. They do bad things to men, but it's especially traumatic for women, who are in many ways the ground of physical reality. I'm not a feminist. I'm a tantric. And my understanding is, from long observation, that female is the ground of physical reality. It is the ground from which we grow. And the feminists hate this, but if the concept of a woman means anything, the first thing it has to mean is that we are of women born. And so when there's a technological advance that completely plunders the relationship between between women and their bodies, we want to know what that is. We want to know what that's doing. And I suggest that you pay close attention. And one of the ways to pay close attention is to be where you are. Now, as connecting the family Hunger Games, I wonder if what's my situation with I don't want to get up again. April 2025. I don't quite have the right chart here, but we'll make do. What's going on now is that, I'm going to draw this in. Take a second here, excuse me. There is this hidden factor operating in your 12th house, what I'm calling the family Hunger Games. Very, very, very slow moving. And it is in a direct aspect at this moment to three factors in early Aries, about 10 degrees. Now, this is very poorly drawn glyph or Salacia. It should look like that. So we're going to put that there. Now, if you can see me, I'm going to turn the chart in a second so you can see it. And so the key to the center of the family Hunger Games is the second centaur, Pholus. And what is happening now and for years is that there is a direct connection out of this ethereal void of the 12th house, this ancestral corridor. Remember the corridor. When you think of the 12th, think of that corridor being right there in the chart. And then that is extending itself locally right into the world in which you're walking around. It is absolutely bizarre and kind of amazing, actually, that you are, in a sense, walking around with the presence of your ancestors with you all the time. In Aboriginal mythology, this is Algira. the god Al-Jira, which also has a placement in astrology. So, so pardon me while I continue to research your chart. So I'm going to the Serenu ephemeris and Al-Jira. Could I look that up? Al-Jira is currently at 1850 Gemini. Could write it up my way. 1850. Jupiter's there right now. Right there. This is a great magnification of ancestral influence. Now, what do you know? So two things before we wrap up. So I'm not keeping you all day here. The first is that the presence of this point, Salacia, which you're not going to find another astrologer writing about, you have to go to my article on Salacia. So it's on the things I have to list. And if you get to the Capricorn reading, if you're watching Aquarius and you're watching this and I haven't linked the article on Salacia, please write to us. I will put it there. It's very important that you see this. Salacia is in direct correspondence with all of this activity in Capricorn, meaning pholus, ixion, pholus, alcohol, ixion, amorality, quaoar, which I don't think is drawn in here, generational history back to the beginning, the vanishing point of the corridor or the family myth of how the family got here, all of and ixion, amorality, is all in this dialogue, not only with Salacia, but with Venus and Mercury making it palpable, making it real. The outer planets are kind of like a tulpa, like they're something that can that exists in potential, but when you morph in, when you bring in an inner planet, an immediately proximate terrestrial, not gaseous or liquidy or whatever, ice, you know, inner planet, well, the world, if you could stand the temperature, you could walk around on Venus and Mercury, jump pretty high too. They make it real. They bring it into emotional, tangible, physical, expressible, communicatable, Venus, feelable, Mercury, talkaboutable form. That's going on now. That's happening now. And it's happening in the style of a review. And so there's a number of things to review. On the list of reviews, I already suggested the 2008 to 2024 review. I suggest a review of your sexual history. A thorough, like fill a notebook with a review of your sexual history back to your earliest recollections of having any sexual feelings at all and or things that happened to you as a child, and get into tangible form out of the misty realm of the 12th house into the concrete tangible realm of the third house where you can take complete and full ownership of it. This would include the account of your first menstruation, your first orgasm, the first time you had sexual contact with another person, all the firsts, and then the important transitional points along the way. And the question that you're looking for is, there is a goal to this, but I suggest you not go right to that. The question that I have is, what is the sexual expression that is appropriate for you? Not who you identify with, not whose button you wear, not whose shirt you wear, not what letter you relate to on the hanging from the sign of the LGBTQIA center, but rather, what is actually right for you, what you want, and what you need, in particular what you want and what you need that you are afraid to express. You're afraid to express. This is a very, very, very formative concept of who you are. All right, last note to talk about. Pluto in Aquarius. And by the way, Saturn rules Aquarius, and Saturn is going into Aries. And so the extension of you in your chart the ruling planet of Aquarius. It's not Uranus. In some ways, it is, but there's a long history to that. And if three people ask me to tell the story of what's this bit about Uranus being or not being the ruler of Aquarius, I will write that out or do it in a podcast. All I need is a couple of people who I know are interested, and then I figure maybe there's a couple of more who don't have the absolute bold courage to write me a note and say, please tell me about that. Or they completely lack the curiosity. You know, that's almost all of you, unfortunately, but at least you're here listening to what I have to say. So you have gotten the curiosity to go, but let's get it up to here. You know, that's like, what the fuck is that? But Saturn, if you don't understand Saturn, you don't understand Aquarius. If you don't understand Aquarius, you don't understand Saturn. You identify as Aquarius. I am saying understand Saturn. But that's not really what I wanted to say. Though there's a lot of relationships in between them all, Aquarius, in its kind of broader, wider manifestation, is the sign of social patterns. The books on my shelf over there are groups. Aquarius is about groups. Groups. Like what? A bunch of fish swimming around together? Oh, no, that's Pisces. Social patterns makes much more sense. Social patterns is a very important subject right now in the age when, you know, this old thing that's like this antique shop relic, social media, totally fixed the social patterns. They've not repaired. Formed them. Formed the social patterns. Which, not coincidentally, are highly alienating. Highly alienating. And so we're living in this world of alienation that's based on social patterns now being taken over by general language models and general artificial intelligence and all this, all of this crap that is being used for one purpose and one purpose only, which is to control you, your life, the lives of your children, the life of your partner, and to know exactly where your car is and where your body is at any given time, at any given place, anywhere in the world. I can do that. Why? Exactly. Why? Exactly, precisely. Is that even a thing? Who the holy living fuck cares? Well, somebody cares enough to rent the Three Mile Island nuclear power plant, start it back up, and run an AI data processing facility in Pennsylvania to spy on you. So we are now in this, sometimes called Web 3.0, which is the web of artificial intelligence and the web of total control. HAL 9000. Pluto is here. I don't make many predictions, but I predicted that the entire purpose of the Trump administration would be to launch AI models that ran society and the digital ID where you can't get anywhere without your phone and you've got to have all your shots up to date, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that they would move fast. You can see this in the progress chart for the inauguration. Moving fast. It's kind of all over by October. There's a big watershed in October. I do not know quite exactly what it is. But it looked as if the technocrats were totally taking over. This had to do with the Sun-Pluto conjunction in Aquarius the day of the inauguration. But my point is that you are highly sensitive to social patterns. And everything today about social patterns, which influences all relationships, all commerce, all friendship, all communications, all associations is basically being run simultaneously through Aquarius and through Aries. They're kind of operating as one, you can't see what I'm doing with the pencil, operating as one system, Aries and Aquarius. And your ruling planet is heading for Aries. So what I'm saying is that it will help to know who you are. It will really, really help to know who you don't know. And I would say that know what you don't know. And knowing what you don't know is the most important thing that you can learn. The art of knowing what you don't know. And the second most important thing is pattern recognition. And the two will facilitate one another. But these are going to be like having a compass if you're lost in the woods or not having a compass. Can you imagine you're lost in some tundra somewhere, you're in some national park and you don't have a compass and you kind of can't really see what's going on. You can't really get a clear view of the sun. Well, it certainly helps to have a compass. And so the compass lost in this digital environment that we are in is pattern recognition. It's knowing when you don't know and pattern recognition, two sides of the same thing. All right, that is what I have to say to you and for you today. I would remind you that the awakening readings are, they remain new, they remain excellent. And by the time I was, I did them more or less in order. And by the time I was up to Aquarius, I was on fucking fire. So the Aquarius reading is absolutely exemplary. It comes with an audio reading. You will see explained in deeper detail and other topics, much of what I have talked about in this reading. So that is there and available for you, as am I with chart keys readings and personal consulting. So let, you know, if you need me or you want me to help you understand your personal chart or you have some matter of consulting, just get my attention. I am happy to serve. All right. All of that said and all of that done, please tell your dogs and your cats that Francis of Kingston sends his love. Thanks for your business and your trust. And bye for now.